Here is Paul, here is Vadim. We're going to present GPRS support in Osmocom BB. And yes, as I said, historically, we never had GPRS in Osmocom BB. We only had a mobile application, which you could use to initiate a call or send SMS and USSD. And that was mostly it. And yes, this was project was part of MSI GPRS. And yeah, so there is ARDC, Amateur Radio Digital Communications, who approved the grant for DARC, which is Deutsche Amateur Radio Club, if I pronounce it correctly, and they contracted Sysmacom to do their related work and basically implementing GPRS. And the primary target is SDR, because, Calypso platform is rather limited. And yeah, so that's the scope, and I hand over to Paul, who will hopefully continue.
Yeah, so first, maybe I make it a bit smaller now to get. So first of all, we have a reminder of the GPRS stack, so because we'll be talking about like the different layers we implemented. So yeah, let's start just on the bottom. So you have like the usual time slot on GSM, which you use, and then it's separated into different logical channels in there. When you see the screen correctly. Then on top of that, you have the RLC MAC layer, which is responsible basically to already like splitting the packages on the link level towards the network, between the EMS, the mobile system, and the network. Then on top of that, you have LLC, which is already being transported farther inside the network, and then on top of that, you basically have different protocols to implement the signaling part, like the GPRS mobility, and on top of that, the session management. And then on the right side, you have the SNDCP protocol, which is used to basically frame user data, which would be usually IP packets. So in this project, when we implemented this on the mobile side, the way we actually split this is that basically you have the L2 and L3 implemented in the modem application, which it's, you can find it in Osmocom BB Git repository. But most of these protocols are actually implemented using a LibOsmo GPRS library, which is in its own repository, which we'll explain in the following slides. And then the L1 is implemented inside Osmo TRX to be used together with an SDR device like the Blade Ref. So regarding like the different modules which conform the software implementation. Again, this would be like the mobile station side of things. We actually used this same diagram to figure out what we had to implement and how they connected each other. So the different layers we saw on the protocol stack, you can see some of them, and then you can see like different arrows joining them with names in it. Those are basically primitive interfaces which are loosely specified in spec, in 3GPP specs. Sometimes, they are more detailed explained than some other, so you have to figure out stuff on your own sometimes. Then I will focus basically on the layer 23 app, so that's the layer 2 and 3 on the modem application. And then Vadim will probably follow with the lower part of things, so from the L1 CTL down here. So you have basically on the top, you have like upper layers or the modem application, and then how it goes down the stack through all the different interfaces. You can also see like the, I was going to say the blue box, but both are kind of blue. So the right blue one is implementing all the GPRS stack, a specific stack which I showed up, which showed up before, and that's being implemented in LibOsmo GPRS. And the other parts are implemented as part of the modem application. So I'm going to speak now about the LiPosMo GPRS. So as I mentioned, this has its own repository. And then we have different libraries, so different shared objects, one for each protocol in the stack. And then we have also other, basically one so far, shared object containing LiPosMo CSN1. Oh, yeah, sorry. Which is the encoding used in RLC MAC layer, which I'm not sure if it's really used somewhere else. So do you remember if it's used somewhere else, actually? CSN1? No.
Yes, it's a rest octet of regular like paging requests.
Yeah, but only GSM, right?
So yes.
Yeah.
And maybe in GMR, I guess.
So yeah, we decided to put that here. Actually, some of this code was migrated from other OsmoCom repositories which already existed, like Osmo SGSN and Osmo PCU. And in turn, like this CSN1 code actually initially came from the Wireshark CSN1 dissector.
And before that, from Ericsson, I guess.
Yeah, OK. So the idea on this library is basically that, as I mentioned, each library it's its own protocol in the stack, and then it implements the primitives that you saw before, like the arrows between the different modules. So it just it's just message passing, primitive passing through the different layers, trying to be as close as possible to what the spec explains about them. Let's say. That was actually useful because then you don't need to figure out by yourself how all this thing is supposed to be working, because there are so many layers and sometimes it's really confusing. So just trying to follow the specs was actually a good idea, though some tweaks had to be done later on. Yeah, that's what I just said. The good point is also that this architecture allows to basically use different, the different libraries depending on what type of application do you want to do. So the idea is that this code also can be reused later on if somebody wants to do different than usual stuff. Let's say on any of the layers, you can actually hook in the primitive messages. So the way it's done, you just send primitives to each library, and then you get you have a callback function you set up where you basically get primitives back. So you can really hook in every part of the stack layer, and actually you must do that because the user of these libraries is the one responsible actually passing the messages between the layers. So you still on your application, basically you need to set up this callback, and you will be passing from one library to the other through the application. And the idea was as much as possible to be able to use these layers, these libraries, with concurrent subscribers. So, this is now used for a single mobile station, but the idea is that actually some of parts of this stack can actually be reused on the core network. There's even like some work in progress attempts on that, which I will explain about later. I will go a bit over the LiPosMo GPRS layer because I think it's kind of standardized away, which I think it's useful maybe for other developers in the future on how to set up stuff. The truth is that actually the public API was set to be small as possible. So it's usually like 3-4 APIs where you basically have one API to set up the callbacks, and again, let's just send callbacks, and you just build up the primitives that you send. So the code structure is inside the LiPosMo GPRS Git. You have this the structure where you have GPRS, and then for each different protocol in the stack, like SM, GMM, RLCMAC, you have one directory, and then you have the same name like RLCMAC.h or whatever, which just provides the public API, which is a rather minimal one. So you usually have one init function where you pass a struct with the different configuration to set it up. Then something that we added there, you have a specific API to set log categories. So this is something different from some of the libraries that we used to have in Osmocom, where you usually defined some category in libosmocore, and then you use that define in some other library. So basically, every time you want to add a category in one library, then you have to actually modify libosmocore adding stuff there. So since these are actually like several protocols in the stack, and actually some of them are a bit complex, like RLCMAC, it made sense to actually try to do this a bit more dynamically. So each library has an enum, basically, with different categories which are defined for that library. And you just assign a number, so that's done by the application. And then, continuing on, and there's this primitive header where basically all the primitives are defined. You basically have one API to allocate one primitive, and then you just pass that to the callback. You just have a callback function, and then you just push the primitive up or down. And finally, I think you have some private header with some stuff. So we try to put as less as possible inside the inside the public API. I will talk a bit about the different layers in there, the connection in between layers. So on the session management library, you have two interfaces to work with. So you have the SMREC interface, which is the one used by the application, where basically you use it to manage PDP contexts and deactivate them and all that. So you have these primitives, like a PDP activate request, and then you get a confirmation whether it worked or not. And then it connects to the GMM layer using this other interface, which can implicitly create or attach or detach from it. Again, on the GMM layer, then we have this same interface that we already talked about, which is talking now to the SM. There's another interface which is specified, which allows you to explicitly attach or detach. So that's used by the application to do explicit attach or detach. And it's also used here. This is actually something we added Osmocom specific because it was not really specified in the specs on how to do that. So we just hooked that primitive there. So that's used when the SIM authentication is needed. Then it also uses this LL interface to connect to, again, to the lower interface, where it the GMM library just like builds up GMM PDUs and then just sends them to the LL layer to basically, again, enqueue them and send them. And then there's, aside from sending data packets over it, you have to control the lower layer sometimes, like suspending or just doing some specific stuff which is needed on the lower layers, like when cell notification is used, or just to manage the ready timer on the lower layers. And also, some of the difficulties there were sometimes figuring out how to update the TLLI, which is changing over time. It's a bit strange because then you sometimes have interfaces actually just jumping through several layers, which is a bit weird, but yeah. And yeah, information like page indications. And now, SNDCP, as you remember, is just to forward the user plane, so the user data from the user. There's the SN interface, which the application, in this case, the modem application we were talking about, is using. Every time you want to send an IP packet, you just use this interface through the primitives in this interface to send or receive data and also negotiate the SNDCP XID information on the SNDCP level. Then also actually when the session management is configured through the, when the PDP context is configured through the SM manager, management interface, protocol, then it actually needs to coordinate with this other protocol to basically pass information about the PDP context that were created. And that's done through this other interface. So it's basically telling, this context got activated or deactivated, so you can basically accept data being sent over it or receiving data over it. And again, the SNDCP layer is using the LL frames to send data. So again, it's just telling the LL layer, okay, please send this SNDCP frame, which actually contains then an IP packet from the user, send it over LL to the core network. So now we are at the LLC layer. As I mentioned earlier, this was actually mostly ported from the existing code in Osmo SGSN, which was already implementing this interface on the other side, on the core network side. We did a bit of cleanup because Osmo SGSN is not in a good shape splitting the different interfaces there. So we adapted it to the new known primitive style described by the 3GPP, as mentioned earlier. We already talked about this interface from the other side. So this is basically receiving PDUs from upper layers. So signaling GMM and user plane SNDCP PDUs are sent from upper layers to this layer. And then, of course, this layer has to send it to lower layers, which is down there. We already covered this when we were talking about the upper layers. When it has to send stuff over RLCMAC, then it uses this other interface, the GRR one, in MS role. And then if this was to be used in the SGSN, it's using, or well, in between the PCU and the SGSN, you have actually BSSGP instead of RLCMAC. So you have from the phone to the PCU, you have LLC, and then behind, below it, you have RLCMAC, but then the LLC frame is just forwarded using BSSGP below it. So it really depends on if you are using this code on the SGSN or on the MS, whether you use one interface or the other one. That's something, by the way, you configure during the init phase of the library when you call the init API, whether you basically set the role there where you are MS or you are SGSN, and then it will just generate proper PDUs for one of the interfaces. Now we are talking about the RLCMAC layer. Some code of it was also ported from Osmo PCU. Again, some heavy cleanup was needed there because we didn't implement this kind of primitive-based stuff in Osmo PCU. We already spoke about this GRR interface. It's the one used from LLC to basically forward or receive LLC frames from upper layers or to upper layers. So this is sent to RLCMAX layer, and then it will split it into RLC blocks. We also talk about this interface where basically the TLLI needs to be updated because the TLLI is sent under some circumstances in the RLC block headers, as well as some signaling which is received also at that layer, like page notifications. And again, some counters which need to be notified directly from the GMM for the mobility, because like every time you send an RLC block, you actually need to notify the upper layers just to keep some timers going. And finally, there's the L1CTL interface. That's not something, as far as I know, like 3GPP specified, but something of Osmocom. Vadim will talk more. We'll talk more about these. But basically, that's what's used in the RLCMAC layer to send and receive RLCMAC blocks. Also to tell it to submit like access bars, to receive the SCCH blocks and like from time slot zero, let's say. Yeah, that's mostly it. Well, yeah, to establish also PDH. I'm just not entering that much into this because Vadim will be explaining about it. So I think that's from you already. So handing over back to Vadim.
Not yet, but yeah, anyway. Yeah,
that was, yeah, okay.
So introducing the modem application, which is, well, the core of GPRS. And yeah, it basically takes care of selecting a cell. It's not yet properly implemented. You have to specify the ARFCON so that it will synchronize to, unlike the mobile application, which can do the blind scan, let's say, and find the operator. Yeah, so as Paul already mentioned, you have dozens of different libraries, dozens of interfaces, and they glued up together into this application, and I'm not going to go into details with that. So the point is that, yeah, this is the workflow, how it's supposed to work, but it's rather technical. So you define the APN over VTY interface, a typical interface to other Osmocom programs. And the modem app synchronizes to the cell. And yeah, there is some exchange of primitives going on.
That was actually mine, right?
Yes, that's your part.
Okay. Anyway. Yeah, I mean, I can explain it if you want.
Yeah, go on.
Okay, that's fine.
Maybe this part.
Yeah, sure. So that's basically an example on how the whole thing on the stack works. So basically on the primitives and the interface I was talking about. So basically the modem applications just uses the SM interface to send this PDP activate request primitive to the SM layer, and then the SM layer internally says, okay, am I actually attached to the network or not? I'm not, so the SM layer then talks to the GMM layer and says, please establish a context, an MM context with the network, so I can basically send the PDP context activate request over there. So it just waits there for actually the lower layers to gain some access to the network. Then again, now the GMM layer wants to attach to network, so it just builds up a GMM attach request on the GMM level and then sends it over LLC layer. Then LLC actually packs it and again sends it to the RLCMAC layer, who will actually create RLCMAC blocks out of it to be sent over the air. But then actually RLCMAC figures out that it needs a TBF to be transmitting data, but there's no TBF yet because it's not created yet. So it again, it just stops doing that for a while. It just pauses the thing, and then it starts, how is it called? Packet procedure?
Packet access?
Packet access procedure, thank you. To the network to basically get an uplink TBF. So it sends a write request with some specific code to basically say I want packet access. Then that's sent over L1CTL interface, who will basically send the write request, and then the RLCMAC layer waits to receive. It listens on CCCH to receive the immediate assignment being sent over there, which contains information like the TFI for the TBF, the USF to be used, and then information on when it needs to send the some information so the network can know more about this mobile phone. So the network is basically providing a TS a TS plus an FN, so the phone can send a packet over there. Then
speed up, maybe.
Yeah, okay. Then the PDF is established on the lower layers. Vadim will talk about that. And finally, the TPF is there, so the GMM PDU can finally be sent there. And it will basically then wait to receive information from the L1 CTL coming from the network. And it will go up the stack again. Finally, the GMM will receive the accept. So it will basically tell the SM layer, OK, you can finally send the activate PDB context you wanted to send. And so that's how it goes. And yeah, that's back to you.
OK. So this is the lower part that Paolo initially mentioned on the project diagram. That's down below the slide. So TRXCon, that's something I developed back in 2016 as a hobby project, and that was perhaps the first C project that I wrote, and C program. Yes, so that was part of the SDRFI project we developed together with Piotr Kryszyk based on GRGSM on GNU Radio. But yeah, and TRXCon nowadays also is actively used in TTCN3 BTS test. That's our conformance testing for Osmo BTS, the base station program. But in a virtual environment, you're basically sending bursts over UDP. And yeah, that's the project architecture before this recent project. So basically, yeah, that used to be a very simple proxy between like the upper layer L1 CTL peer and the transceiver, speaking TRXC, TRXD protocols. Of course, no clear project separation, no layering, and so on. It's a mess and proof of concept quality of code. And this is how it looks like now. But yeah, take it with a grain of salt. There is still layering violations. But yeah, it's a lot better now. So you have a FSM, which is the heart of the application, and it manages all the primitives between different libraries, let's say. So you have L1 CTL on the top. That's the modem app we already mentioned. That's also the mobile app, which you can use, and all the test suite, which can be also attached from that side. And on the bottom, you basically have the transceiver interface, like be it SDR-based transceiver or the virtual VertFi. Yeah. And yeah, this, I'm not gonna go into details, but this is how it looks like now when you, like when the upper layer, for instance, requires cell selection. So you have those, the basically state transitions of the TRXCon FSM and different primitives sent between different components. But we have not that much time left, so yeah, I'm skipping that part. This is also how the TCCH establishment, basically dedicated channel and release, looks like. And this is very similar to PDCH establishment with with some minor details. So this is how reception and transmission of bursts looks like. So yeah, nothing really special about that. You can look at this later in offline. And yeah, so here we go. This is the new addition to TRXCon that's called Leap L1 GPRS. And we didn't have a GPRS in OsmoCon BB, and we didn't have it in TRXCon either. But there is a big problem with GPRS is that it's really strict on timings. You cannot really delay sending something for, like, I don't know, a few blocks later, a few blocks earlier. Yeah, you've got to be precise. And not an earlier, not later, not one block earlier or later. And TDMA gives us only like 5.77 milliseconds to react. Basically, you get a downlink block, and you must immediately react by sending uplink block if you got the slot allocated by the network. And we have been considering two solutions to that problem. So one was completely moving the RLC MAC layer to the lower part, to TRXCon, which is not the perfect approach. And the other one was moving just a part of it, the lower layers. And that's what we decided to implement. And this is basically what L1 GPRS is. And yeah, also not going to go into details. You have a very simple data model and API, just the global state, PTCH, that represents a state of a time slot on the left. And on the right, that's TBF, that's a temporary block flow for those who are not in GPRS. And yes, so it's a small library which depends on Libosma Core and Libosma GSM. And for now, it's used by TRXCon and by Vertify, which is another application that was developed, I would say, yeah, a bit earlier than TRXCon for testing primarily. And we also hope that at some point we can port it to the layer one firmware for Calypso. Yeah, but there are lots of constraints for that, so maybe later. Yeah, so we introduced several new GPRS related L1CTL messages, and yeah, mostly for doing the TBF configuration and for basically sending and receiving blocks. The block is like a yeah, chunk of data. And yeah, RTS, like typical set of primitives between different peers. This is also how the event flow looks like for GPRS. And yeah, that's that kind of represents the new message types and how they're used and so on. So it's also a bit similar to like the CS domain with voice calls and SMS, but you have different messages and yeah, different interconnections between components. So, Osmo T-Rex MS, that's something that Eric could speak more about, could talk more about, but yeah. So it's basically we already had Osmo T-Rex, that was the transceiver for the PTS side, for the network side, and there was a branch in it from 2014 by Tom Tsol. And yeah, that was just early work towards GPRS MS, actually SDR platform for the MS. And now we have Osmo T-Rex MS, which will show up in this mess. Yeah. Yeah, so it's partly based on the work by Thomas also. And yeah, also some parts from GRGSM, as far as I know. And of course, it's based on TRXCon, which is, we told you about already. And from the user perspective, it's the clock source is a requirement. And yeah, lots of limitations, like only Blader app support for now, no UHD yet, and no VTY login configuration that you cannot change other than changing the source code. And sometimes you have to restart it because it might crash as well. Yeah, you need actually some specific flags if you want to build it during the configuration step, but we have Debian package for it, which you can install from nightly feeds of OsmoCon, but probably latest too, I'm not sure yet. And yeah, maybe something for Paul to conclude the talk.
Yeah, well, first of all, just saying like the RLCMAC layer is, yeah, I mean, we could do even several talks on it because it's a quite complex one and it took actually quite good amount of time to figuring out all the constraints and requirements. Yeah, and a lot of discussions with Vadim and I just to figure out like the best way to do it. And we actually just, yeah, rambled a bit trying to different approaches until we get it, we got it working. So yeah, back to the slide regarding future work. For Liposmo GPRS, right now we don't consider the API stable. Anyway, it's only used by OsmoConBB, which doesn't have a stable API anyway, so we are fine with it. The idea is to clean up a bit the API. So initially I added like lots of alloc primitives, like one per primitive, which actually was good at the time because it was already like a bit difficult to figure out how all the interfaces and all the primitives work. So it helped like with the code, but I agree we can just like clean up that and just have some generic allocation APIs at some point. And then at some point, yeah, declare the API stable. And that also joins with the last point. Maybe we want to delay doing making the API stable until we somehow integrate it with Osmos SGSN. If we do that at some point, I started some work on it, which can be found in this branch, and there's a related ticket on it. I had to stop on it because there's still some stuff on the BSSGP layer in there in Osmos SGSN which needs to be fixed before. More information in there. I don't even remember myself, but yeah. It can be done, but needs some work, which was not actually inside the scope of this project. Especially stuff which needs to be improved. It's in, again, in the RLCMAC layer, which turned to be like the more difficult one and lots of features there. So far, we only support one time slot, which is quite a big limiting factor so far. It shouldn't be actually that much difficult, just increasing it to several time slots. I think it's mostly about figuring out, improving the algorithm to calculate the CV field, which basically tells how many packets you are still being going to send before actually finishing the TBF. But yeah, I mean, that it's in itself a bit of time of developing and reading. So and we were short on time on this project, so we had to basically stop here. Support for eGPRS also, that means control messages. And then, but yeah, anyway, I don't think we support that on the lower layers anyway, so like 8QPS? Sorry, I don't remember the...
8PSK modulation.
Yes, thank you. And yeah, tons of other features missing everywhere. I mean, we just implemented like, yeah, minimal stuff around the whole stack. And yeah, that's it. So.